Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America, everyone. Frank Bassett joining you this morning. Tim Matthews is out of town on assignment, so he will not be with us today. But it's a slow week on the PGA Tour. Needless to say, there's nothing happening on the PGA Tour itself this week, although there are two tournaments going on. One, PGA Tour Champions, the Pure Insurance Championship at Pebble Beach. Not a bad spot. And, of course, the Korn Ferry Tour is operating this week for the Nationwide Children's Hospitals Championship. So those two things are going on, but there is one other event that's occurring this week, and that's the Solheim Cup, and we are underway at the Solheim Cup. Nothing to report yet. We'll get into that with a couple of special editions next week of Golf Talk America, PGA Tour Countdown, Approach Shot, Those Weekend Golf Guys, and all of our other shows. But that being said, what I wanted to do with Golf Talk America this week for you is go back, because there were two interviews that occurred last week, full-length interviews after final rounds from the two champions, one from the Korn Ferry Tour, Grayson Murray, and one from the PGA Tour Fortinet Championship, and that was Seth Thagala. Really, really insightful interviews, good interviews, and I think it's worthwhile to bring those to you on this edition of Golf Talk America on a PGA Tour off week, if you will. Of course, everybody's on their way to the Ryder Cup, so we'll be bringing you all that next week also. A lot going on the next 2 weeks, and we'll have a lot of content for you, a lot of interviews, insights from the players, and just some insightful comments from some of the normal Golf Talk America crew folks that you've come to know and hopefully love. Anyway, let's get right to it. The full interview, post-round winner's interview from Seth Thagala.
Good evening, everyone. We would like to welcome the 2023 Fortinet Championship winner, Seth Thagala. Seth, congratulations on earning your first PGA Tour victory. We're going to start off with some opening comments on what it was like to get that first win on tour.
Yeah, it was crazy. Just can't believe it happened, and just a lot of work that was put in, and a lot of people that were behind this. It's just, golf is really, really hard, and you never know when you're going to find a little hot streak or when you're going to go on a cold streak. And you know, I'm just taking it all in as game's been feeling good and putting in the work. But my first thought is just, like, it feels like such a team win. It doesn't feel like a win just for myself. It's for everyone that supported me and kind of got me where I am today. But a lot of really, really good golf the last 4 days. Just gives me so much confidence that I kind of went out there and got it today. I didn't, you know, really just kind of leak my way in. I really feel like I kept the pedal down, and that's kind of what I was missing in the first few times I was in contention.
And how special is it that your first win came in your native home state here in California with over 40 family and friends following along all week?
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, to be able to share, you know, such a, I don't want to say once in a lifetime moment, but it really is a once in a lifetime moment. You only win once, and you never even know if you're ever going to win, right? So to be able to share this moment with all of them is really special and something that I'll never forget. And even, you know, through the highs and the lows this week, they're cheering me on and supporting me, and they've been that way since I've started my pro career. So, you know, I just want them to know. Hopefully, want them to know that I have their back too. And it's awesome. It's awesome to win in my home state and have so many people come up and, you know, just be able to come up and watch.
Perfect. With that, we'll open up to the media. If you guys have a question, we'll get a microphone over to you. But we'll open up here with Ron.
Thank you. Congrats. You mentioned the gallery. How much bigger was it today? It sounds like people sort of joined knowing you had a chance. And how did that, I mean, a couple times they started chanting your name. You looked a little sheepish. What was that like, just sort of as you're trying to, you know, stay focused and navigate your way through the 18 holes, to have that sort of vocal support.
Yeah, yeah. Watching golf and playing golf is so different. I feel like, personally for me, watching golf, I get way more nervous than playing golf. So I know what it's like to be in their shoes and watching. And I know you get definitely more on the highs and more on the lows watching too, whereas I feel like I've always been pretty steady on the golf course. And I'll wear my emotions on my sleeve, but for the most part, I won't get too low or too high. So I've told my family and friends that I love their cheering and I acknowledge it. But, you know, during the moment, if I make a birdie, I'm just trying to, you know, keep my heart rate down out there and not get too excited and just kind of keep playing, because I learned the hard way a couple times. You just have to go and get it. You know, I did look at the leaderboards on the back nine especially, and I saw I had four or five shot lead most of that back nine, but just the finishing stretch, and these guys are so good. So I knew I just had to stay as focused as I can and just try and play my best golf coming in. But it's awesome, especially at 17 and 18. I just kind of soaked it in a little bit, and sure enough, I soaked it in on 18 and made it probably I hit three of the worst shots I did all week. So, but yeah, it's awesome just hearing the chants every single hole, and it definitely gave me a lot of energy.
We have Paul back here in the white hat.
Hey, Sahith, we've talked all week kind of about you trying to hit more fairways and put yourself in some prime positions. Today, you know, you're in the trees a couple times in the rough. Does that kind of just embody kind of your game, the shot making that it allows, and, you know, to be able to win that way?
Yeah. I don't know what the stats were. I did feel like I drove it better today, but I probably hit six fairways. That's just how it always seems to work for me. But I feel like I hit the fairways or the intermediate or just off the fairway today were on the drives I needed it the most. And I, you know, fully understand that my long game or my, especially off the tee, is not my strength. And believe it or not, it's gotten a lot better the last couple of years. You know, right out of college, I probably would have been 200 strokes gained off the tee. And the last couple of years, I think I've been just over 100, which I've been making progress. And I always joke that, you know, hitting it that bad for a lot of my life off the tee has helped me just be really creative and just find a way to get the ball in the hole and score and hit all these crazy shots and do whatever it takes to get it in the hole. And, you know, I feel like hitting fairways is a bonus, and I'm, you know, I don't get too stressed out if I hit it offline. I will say I feel like I miss it on the correct side pretty much every time. It might be really far away from the fairway, but it is at least the side that's, you know, in bounds or in play and have a recovery shot. So good at that, I guess. But I don't let it stress me out too much. And, you know, me and my coach have been working on this forever, and we're making progress, and that's all I can ask for. I still feel like I probably work the hardest on my short game, and just want that to keep getting better and better, and I'm getting more and more confident that, you know, it's the strongest part of my game, and I can rely more and more on it as I move forward.
Is there something that clicks with you when you put yourself in those scenarios, kind of back against the wall, you see a narrow window, something about that kind of like sparks that creativity in your game, that shot making ability?
Yeah. Just growing up as a kid on the range, one of the things I did a lot with my coach and even with my dad is kind of, I'll be on a flat range, but I'm like, how many times are you actually hitting a dead flat shot, hitting a dead stock shot into a hole at a tournament? It's literally never. So I would always envision I have a tree in front of me and hit every kind of shot around the tree. I'd do the, you know, the classic tic-tac-toe, and I just love working the ball. And also jokingly, I was like, I'm not good enough to hit a straight shot. Like, I don't want to aim at the flag and expect to hit a straight one. Like, I just don't think my swing's built for that. So just kind of combination of that and definitely seeing, you know, small windows and tighter targets is something I've been really working on. So I don't have an option, I just have the tight window, I feel like I go ahead and pull it off. So more often than not, it's bit me in the butt a few times. But, I definitely think I'd like to have that focus on every shot, you know, but I know that's not how golf works.
We have Marty here in the very front.
Congratulations, Sahith.
Thank you, Marty.
You have mentioned Zach Sims a number of times this week and his family and the fact that they have welcomed you into their home. How much of a comfort zone was that for you this week, driving over to Silverado today with Zach? He talked to me this morning about how he said, you know, he could feel, you know, good things were about to happen today. But how much does Tom and Jennifer and Zach and the Sims family mean to you?
Yeah, they mean so much to me. You know, Zach's truly become one of my best friends over the last 3 years. He caddied for me on my sponsor invites out of college and on the Corn Ferry, and he caddied for me here in 21. He was supposed to caddy for me in 2020. That's another funny story. But, he actually just came back from European Q school, so he wasn't able to get here till last night. But even having him out today and his girlfriend, Becca, but it was awesome having him out. He's just nothing. He's legit one, the nicest person I know on this planet. The most optimistic guy, and you know, traveling on the road with him for a year rubbed off on me a little bit. I was always a little bit pessimistic about stuff, but yeah, Zach's the man. I can't thank Tom and Jennifer enough too for hosting me. This is my, I don't remember if I stayed with them in 2020. I think I did. I think this is 4 years in a row staying with them. It truly feels like a home game. They've cooked me up some really, really nice meals over the last 3 years. I think they're cooking some nice stuff tonight. I might go back there and eat there. But, I just feel like I'm one of their kids. Feels like a second home to me up here. First tournament that I've played 4 times, and I've probably played this golf course outside of the tournament. I've probably played it 10, 15 times. I played the Napa Open, which is sponsored by Zach's company, PureFect. And, he's one of my best friends, and for him to be here, and I saw him, and we got a picture with the trophy after, it means a lot to me.
I'm going to get a microphone over to Michael.
Hey, Saeed, congratulations. My question is, when you shanked your drive on 6 into the ninth fairway, when you were coming out on your, when you hit out, did you hit the lip of the bunker or did you hit a tree?
I didn't do either, actually. I chunked it. Both times I hit in a fairway bunker today, I needed to hit like a chippy hook. And both times I just got under, I just dumped it and chunked it both times. So I just chunked it. I saw it hit the tree softly and I was like, oh boy, I probably just hit it right behind that group of oaks there. And I got lucky. I had a little opening behind the trees in the bark, but yeah, just flat out chunked it. And I knew right when I hit that tee shot on 6, I'm like, I've literally hit it right of the cart path, maybe onto the other hole. And I was just really hoping it wasn't in that bunker, because that's probably the bunker with the biggest lip on property. And just chunked it. I was happy to walk away with 5 there.
You were talking all week about playing more loose because it's not the first tournament of the year. Every time you got into trouble today with a bogey or something, a couple holes later, you bounced right back. How important was that for you to shake those bad holes off and get right back on track?
Yeah, that's kind of I feel like that's been a strength of my game for so long. I feel like my bounce back stats are really good. I have a pretty short memory on and off the golf course. I don't remember a lot of things. You can ask my girlfriend back there. I really don't remember that well, but it's a good. It works out well in golf. Works out well in golf. I have a short memory for sure, and I just, you know, I feel like you definitely have a vibe at the beginning of the week whether you're playing well or not, and when you're in the heat of the moment, you don't really think of that. But this week, I just felt so relaxed and felt like my game was in a really good place. I probably practiced more than most of the guys in this field leading up, just because I was so fired up about not making East Lake, and I was disappointed, and I had a hard time putting the sticks away for a bit. But yeah, I just kept reminding myself that I'm playing really well, and my caddy Carl does an incredible job of, you know, we'll make a bogey, and our conversation from the last fairway won't change. We hardly talk about golf, to be honest. We talk about basketball, sports, cars, life, you name it. So just him keeping kind of a consistent vibe throughout is also really helped after a bad hole.
We have Ron again, then up to Art.
You've talked in the past about your pride and your Indian heritage. I'm curious how much this win, especially on the heels of Akshay winning early this summer. I mean, there's a lot of people in India. How much can this mean for golf in India, do you think? Yeah. And how much does that matter to you? Obviously, you were born and raised here, I understand, but with that sort of background and the family connection.
No, it means a lot to me because a lot of my family is still back in India, and I'm very proud of my Indian heritage, and I just love seeing other Indians kind of rise to the occasion in sports. You know, Neeraj winning a couple gold medals is huge. I think it was the first gold medal in track and field for javelin. That's huge for the country. I was really lucky to play with Shubhankar at the Open in a practice round and meet his whole team and his dad and his coach. And he had a great show in there. I was pulling for him so hard. One of the nicest guys I've ever met. And I think he finished like seventh there. And he's been having a nice little resurgence season kind of. And I know Anirban texts me all the time, and he's obviously been great for the Indian game too. And obviously with Akshay winning, and I think Aaron Rye just finished second at BMW. So a lot of really cool kind of role models and people to look up to for the Indian people. And hopefully we're breaking some stereotypes about athleticism and competing in sport and all that. And, it means a lot to me for sure. You know, there's a lot of things I do in daily life where that, you know, stems from my culture and my heritage. And my parents were the first ones from their family to be in the States. So, means a lot. And I think, you know, hopefully this is the start of something really good for Indian sports.
And we have Art in the very front.
A year and a half ago at Scottsdale, you come so close.
Yeah.
And today you come out of the gate like nobody's going to touch me. Were you thinking like that? I'm just going to go out and get this, grab this thing.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. I think that's the last 54 hole. I've only had, this might have been my third. But I vividly remember I got this weird feeling on hole five today. I was in that greenside bunker and I looked over at the leaderboard kind of on accident. I saw it had a 3-shot lead. And I remember making a putt on hole five, the last round at Waste Management, to have a two or maybe at least a 2-shot lead. And I just remember thinking today, it's like, I want way more than that. Like, I want to, you know, just keep playing how I've been playing the whole week and see how far ahead I can get. Whereas I remember at Waste Management, I remember thinking, I got a couple tough holes coming up. Like, I just got to hold in there and stay around the lead. And it was nice to be able to draw back on that. And I hit that bunker shot to a foot, which was really nice. And, it was a whole, I was so, so much calmer today. At Waste, I was just kind of thrown in with all the top guys in the world. And this might have been my 10th. PGA Tour start that year on a sponsor invite and a lot much calmer and chiller atmosphere this week, and I think that helped. But just drawing off of that experience was big because I just remember how much that hurt. I'm such a competitor, and that one really, really hurt. I thought I did it all to, you know, put myself in a position to win and to not come away with that. It hurt. So, but it was such a good learning experience knowing that it's legitimately not done till the last putt drops. It's not done. So I definitely draw on that one and at Sanderson Farms my first year too. I draw on those two experiences a lot, and now I'm glad I have one where I get the job done to draw on too.
Nick's on the left.
Hi, Seth. Can you speak to about your father and the inspiration he was to you growing up? And I believe he also encouraged other family members, young family members, get out on the course with you?
Oh, yeah. My dad's the reason I'm here today. I mean, he introduced me to all sports, most specifically basketball and golf. Just love watching it on TV with him. And you know, all he knew when he came from India is academics and to study. And him and my mom did such a good job of just kind of learning how to almost hybrid parent between this Indian culture and American culture and let me let me play sports, let me spend a lot of time on sports, put me in basketball club. And you know, my mom drove me to so many practices when my dad was still at work, and just the combined efforts of them to kind of understand that this was my dream and my passion, and for it to become their dream and their passion, especially my dad. My dad just, he just loves sports, and he's a competitor too, even though he's never, you know, really, really played sports. But I think at first it was hard for maybe some of my family and even friends to understand why I was trying to chase playing professional golf. It seems like kind of a pipe dream, but my dad had my back the whole time. He just believed in me from the start and knew that this could be a thing. So, it's tough not to get emotional just thinking about everything he's done, and he's always had my back, and even through my wrist surgery in 2018, 19, thinking, you know, I might never play again. Him just having my back and you know, keep on pushing me. And he also did such a good job of, you know, he was really hard on me, but also, you know, one of my best friends, and always told me to have fun. And the main thing was to just enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it, then there's no purpose in doing it. Life's too short. So, he's just such a right combination. Now he's the happiest person I know. Zach's the most optimistic person I know. My dad's right there with him. He means the world to me. And my mother keeps him in check, for sure. My mom keeps him in check. Sometimes he loses touch reality a little bit, but they make a good duo.
Time for a few more. We're going to go on the right, and then we'll hit the microphone in the back.
Congratulations on a great win this week.
Thank you.
You shared with us that you're really comfortable with the Silverado North course.
Yeah.
How did that affect your strategy going out there with the lead on the final round?
Yeah, it actually affected it quite a bit. I'm realizing how awesome it is to come back to a golf course over and over. I was lucky enough to come back to a lot of courses for the second time this year. And coming back here for the fourth time, it felt like I've played here a million times, you know, especially at tournament conditions, because it's tough to replicate tournament conditions. You could play a golf course, for example, LACC, I've played 40, 50 times, but to play in a tournament was totally different. So to play this golf course with so many rounds, there's just certain holes where, like, hitting driver on four is kind of an intuitive thing, where I feel comfortable doing that because I know exactly where the lines are and where the little branches are that it could hit, and just little stuff like that, and definitely helped me out on the greens. There's a lot of greens that, you know, are really, really tough reads, but because I've hit those putts or similar putts before, I had, again, it's a little bit intuitive, just seeing some of the breaks better. There's a couple holes out here which I think is big, is where the short side's actually better. When if you leave it long side on some of these holes, you have a really, really tough two putt, and it's almost better just firing out the pins. And I was a little more aggressive with my iron game, especially on the par threes. So, just a combination of everything. And I'm a West Coast guy, so I always feel like I do really well in Kikuyu and Poa. And these greens, shout out to the grounds crew, they kept them really, really pure. It's hard to keep Poa pure in the afternoons, but they're rolling true.
On the back with Matt and Taylor.
So it feels like we've seen you grow a bunch in a myriad of ways over these last couple of years, but I've heard you talk quite a few times about your body and some of the work you've done with Josh. What are you able to do, what has that made you able to do that maybe you weren't before, and how has that changed you as a player?
Yeah, I feel like I've said a few things that are the most important thing to me, but really we only have one body, and I've learned throughout the years that I just want to be healthy. Whether that's putting more work in on the gym or taking more rest days, me and Josh just figured out I just need to be healthy. And I've kind of had a new commitment to the gym. Probably started late in college. My trainer at college was pretty hard on me too, but I was already working with Josh, which was great. And the strides we've made the last few years has been incredible. Strength-wise, I'm really not a whole lot stronger. I definitely am stronger, but my flexibility is way better. My mobility is better. My stamina is really good. I never get off a golf course tired anymore, which is awesome. My back and wrist have been, you know, two big things that we've really worked hard to keep healthy. And knock on wood, I've been healthy since my surgery. Haven't missed a single event because of injury in 4+ years. So it's tough. It's you know, this game is so taxing, especially I love the game and I play a lot. So it's very taxing. And but I feel like we're on a really good path, and he definitely knows what he's doing, and he knows my body really well. And you know, we have another. We just sat down last week. I was down in LA, went to see him in the gym, and we kind of set out a plan for what we want to improve on this year, what we did well last year, and yeah. One of the big things also, I asked a bunch of guys my rookie year about, like, hey, is there just like one overarching piece of advice that you'd say is, and a lot of them said just take care of your body from an early stage. I completely understand why so many guys spend so much, you know, time and money on recovery and training and doing all that, because you just have your one body and you need to be close to as 100% as you can be week in and week out to be consistent. And I'm definitely, you know, taking that more seriously.
And secondly, do you have a primary swing thought, or is there anything that you consistently go to?
Yes, I have. It changes from week to week, but I've based my whole game kind of around the anti-left. My whole life, I've taken the left side of the golf course out of play, whether that be aiming way right and slinging it left, or aiming left and, you know, working it off the trouble. And whenever I get, you know, a little bit wayward, I just go back to, well, a lot of this, it starts from my setup. But the one kind of swing thought and key that I have to kind of take the left side of golf course off is just turn my body a hair more through impact and swing just a touch more left. I mean, me and my coach Rick have been working so hard on setup, takeaway, rhythm, and all that. We don't really mess with my positions or swing much, but you know, I think we're on the same page about taking the left side of the golf course out of play. And you know, today I hit a couple left with the 3-iron, and I know I had a pretty nice lead, but 16, that 3-iron I hit on 16 kind of was the one where I took the left side of play, just kind of leaned on it a hair and hit a really nice cut in there after missing a couple 3-irons left. So that's kind of the overarching one, I'd say, that I have pretty consistently.
Taking final few, Taylor.
When you won last December at QBE, you said that your dreams didn't get past getting your tour card. What do those dreams look like now for you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do a little reevaluation. I really don't know. I've never been super result or goal-oriented in my golf. You guys are probably sick of hearing me say this, but I'm just trying to make progress and stick to the process and just try and get, you know, 0.00001% better. Even that much better is good enough for me. Obviously, I'm going to try and get the most out of it, but yeah, my dream was always to get my tour card. Did I think I was going to get it? Yes. I didn't know when. I knew I was going to work my butt off to try and get it. And it really didn't go further than that. You know, my dad's always had the belief in me that I could come out here and compete and win. But as a player, I feel like you don't have that belief till you do it necessarily. And, you know, it's now I do have that belief because it actually happened. But yeah, I don't even know what my dreams are going on from here. I think it's just to keep giving it all I have and you know, doing it for my friends and family and everyone that supports me and just seeing how far I can go in this game. Just trying to get better. I really am addicted to just seeing how much better I can be and you know, being around some of the top players in the game a lot more recently has fired me up even more. Just to see if I can, you know, be in the mix as kind of one of those guys. So yeah, I guess I'm just going to keep sticking to what I've been doing. I think it would probably be easy to get sucked into certain things or looking at stuff different ways, but I'm going to keep looking at it the same way I have been and just do my thing.
This is the final question from Paul.
You've talked about all week kind of, or just going back, that you're not someone who thinks about winning. It's not something that you're constantly You just want to get in contention, is what you said.
Exactly.
Is there a point today where you really let yourself think about a win and what it would mean?
Yeah, there was a point, and it was after I hit the tee shot on 17. But yeah, I really, you know, again, I've been lucky enough to kind of win at the junior, collegiate, and I should say pro, but like the mini tour level. I can't stress enough how good the game, like how good golf is right now. I mean, the guys on the mini tour level, the level of golf they're playing is pretty crazy. I think a lot of people don't realize how high of a level of golf even those guys are playing. I mean, they're just a few weeks away from being on the PGA Tour, and they can compete, and there's been a lot of examples of it, you know, Akshay being one of them, you know, Ryan Gerard. There's a lot of guys that kind of had no status and played their way on, so I know how hard it is to win and to compete on a weekly basis, so that's why I feel like I don't think about winning that much. Again, I've just been lucky to win at every level, and that's kind of been my way of going about it. It's just put yourself in contention as many times as possible, because that means that there's a little more consistency to my game, which is a kind of always what I've leaned on. I haven't been a guy that gets extremely, extremely hot and then goes extremely cold for a long time. I kind of just, you know, have a high floor, I feel like, and I'm trying to expand that ceiling, get that ceiling higher. But yeah, I just, the whole time today, I just wanted to keep the pedal down. Really tried to not look at the leaderboards at all in the front, caught a glimpse on five, but I didn't even really have a target score in mind. I just knew that if I put in the right positions, I can go low out here. I think the greens were, I thought they would be a touch firmer today, but they were probably the same as yesterday. So I was able to get aggressive with some iron shots, and yeah, I didn't think about winning till 17. I hit the tee shot, and I wish I did a little better on the last hole, but I really wanted to go for it. I'll put that on Carl. Carl's strokes gained caddying this week was through the roof. He caddied like actually for the year, it's been incredible. It's better than all my stats combined, but I'll give him a minus one strokes gained caddying on 18. I wanted to go for it, just blast it by the green, but he wanted me to lay up, and I laid up, just terrible layup shot in the rough, but it's all good, I guess. Win's a win.
Perfect. That's all the questions we have. Soth, again, congrats on that first win. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Hilly. Thank you, guys.
What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Hey folks, kickstart a fresh fall routine with HelloFresh. HelloFresh handles all the meal planning and shopping to deliver everything you need to cook up a tasty meal right at home. They do the hard part and you get to take the credit. And when it comes to options, honestly, more is more. That's why HelloFresh's menu includes 40 recipes and over 100 add-on items to choose from every week. Folks, I'm a HelloFresh subscriber. I absolutely love the variety of meals and options they have. I use it all the time, and it's a lot of fun to prepare. But it's easy, and it's fast, and it's good. No, it's great. It's really good food, and take it from me, Frank Bassett. You really need to try HelloFresh. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to HelloFresh.com/50GTA. That's 50GTA. And use code 50GTA for 50% off plus 15% off the next 2 months. I'm going to say it again. Go to HelloFresh.com/50GTA and use code 50GTA for 50% off plus 15% off the next 2 months. I'm telling you, it's America's number one meal kit, and there's a reason, because it is great. So there you have Seth Tagala's interview. Hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. And congratulations to he and his entire family on his success, his future success. It's going to be a name that's going to be around for a while. So let's get to it, because on the Korn Ferry Tour, as I said earlier, Grayson Murray won And he was here for the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation here in Nashville, or Franklin, Tennessee, if you will, down at the Grove. And we had an opportunity to speak and talk and see those guys. So let's get right to it and hear from Grayson Murray after his victory.
Good. All right, Grayson, with your second win here today, you're officially headed back to the PGA Tour. Let's just start there. How does that feel?
Yeah, amazing. To start the year and, you know, a lot of uncertainties, right? And this is what we live for, and I didn't see myself in this position, but you can always work hard and follow your goals, and that's what I did. And, you know, it came to fruition. But yeah, you know, it's just a testament of a lot of hard work.
What's more exciting right now to you, this win or head back to the PGA Tour?
This win, yeah. You know, from being a past champion on the PGA Tour, I've always had a little bit of status, but this win right now, I'm going to enjoy this one for sure. I didn't come into this event thinking about the, you know, my PGA Tour card on the line. I just came in here focused on doing what I could to what I could control. And, you know, the lowest score always wins, and that stays true. So,
starting the day a couple groups back of those leaders, at what point were you like, okay, this could be mine to take home?
Yeah, you know, it started off really hard with the wind. I think those first five or six holes, I played them one over and didn't really felt like I hit many bad shots. And, you know, I stayed patient and I didn't look at a leaderboard all day. And I asked my caddy, I think with five holes to go, if I made three birdies, would it be good enough? And he said they'd have to play pretty good to catch you. And I ended up making four. So it was, I think that was kind of my mindset going in, was to not look at scoreboards today just because it was so bunched up. It served me well.
A lot of crucial birdies there at the end. Big one here, Roar on 18. Which of those was your favorite and meant the most for today's win?
Yeah, you know, 17 was a really good one just because how hard that hole is. I felt like birdieing 17. I looked at the board on 17 and I had a one shot lead there, and to have a two-shot lead on the last hole, I had that same lead in Kansas City, and we made it interesting. And you know, I kind of you know, played this hole smart, and you know, I made a nice putt here on 18, which is always fun to do.
So, lots of the tour card, still two events to go. What's the goal and the mindset for those next two events?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal is to show up next week, be prepared, and go out and take care of business. There's no letting the pedal, you know, I think the pedal needs to still be still down, and you know, I think you can't let your guard down in this game ever, and you know, you got to ride it while you're hot, and that's what I'm gonna try to do.
You FaceTimed your parents there at the end. They were just so proud of you. Can you kind of tell us what they were saying and how much it meant to them to share the moment with them?
Yeah, you know, I think they were trying. They looked at flights to come here, and I guess they didn't pull the trigger, but. I told them that I would win in front of them soon, and I believe it. And you know, they're my biggest supporters, and you know, whether I lose or win, they're gonna love me just as much. And that's crucial to have people like that in your circle, and it takes a lot of pressure off of you for sure.
Yeah, he made a comment something along the lines of, "It's not the win, it's who you are that makes it successful." And how much does it mean to hear your parents tell you that?
Yeah, you know, it's always, you always want to make your parents proud. I think we all want to, you know, live vicariously through them, and hopefully they raised us right, and they have for me. And there's been moments in my career where I probably let them down, and you know, I was still always their son, and you know, they loved me through the bad times. But to act like a professional and to get, not even win this tournament, but just act like a professional, I think makes them proud. And I can look in the mirror tonight and be proud of myself for how I, you know, behaved out there and under the gun and under pressure situations.
At the beginning of this year, if you had told yourself, hey, you're going to get two wins, head of the PGA Tour, two events to go, just kind of what would you have thought and said, and, you know, I don't know, just react to that news?
Yeah, I mean, when I won in Kansas City, that was the first one in 6 years. So, you know, it's tough to win on any tour, I mean, in the world. It is very tough to win, and there's a very few guys that seem to win more than others, and that's what makes them elite. And but we play a sport where we lose more than we win, but
it's the losses that you learn from and get better at. And I want to soak this win in as much as possible, but I want to get back to business as well, because this feeling is unlike anything other.
On Golf Channel, you mentioned that just the calmness you felt for a win. Talk about why that is and where does that come from?
Yeah, I met with a mental coach last week. We had 2 weeks off, obviously, from Boise, and I went to Florida. Didn't touch a club for like 9 days. Just kind of took a hard reset. And my coach back home, my instructor, knew this guy out in San Diego and thought it'd be good for me. My dad thought it'd be good for me, and so I hopped on a plane from Florida and went straight there. And it was a 2-night trip. It was an exhausting trip, but obviously I got a big return on my investment just in 1 week. And if I can handle myself like this going forward every week, and I'm not going to be perfect, but if I can do as good of a job as I can, then I think I can be an elite player.
What did you learn when you went and did the training?
Yeah, there was a lot. I didn't take everything from it. I took just bits and pieces from it. I had a ball marker made this week. There's a company out here making ball markers, and I got SOP and WIN stamped on it, which was succeed on purpose and what's important now. And I just kept looking at that ball marker, and it never got me looking ahead. It kept me in the moment. And we're lucky. We play a game for a living, and it's not the end of the world. And everyone always talks about perspective, but it really is perspective.
Has there ever been a time in your career where your mind has maybe let you down?
Oh, absolutely. I've been. If my game is a 9 out of 10, my mental game was a 1 out of 10 for my whole career, really. And that's what's kept me from being the player that I could have been. Coming off of this tour back in 2016, being a rookie, and sheer talent got away with it for a little while. And I turned 30 in less than a month, and I just kind of had a hard talk to myself and realized that I'm getting a second chance. And luckily we play a game where we can have careers into our 50s, and so 30 is still young, and I feel like I have a lot of good golf ahead of me.
And who is your instructor?
Ted Keel back home in Raleigh, where at Carolina Country Club. Webb Simpson grew up taking lessons from him. So I've been working with him since I was 9 years old. So.
And the guy, the Navy SEAL you worked with, what was his name?
Tony Blauer. So he's a self-defense instructor, one of the best in the world, and he coaches Navy SEALs. He's not actually a Navy SEAL. And then he's also a fear management guy. And it's crazy how fear is one of those things that it happens to all of us. We wouldn't be human if we didn't experience fear. And being out here on the golf course trying to win tournaments, there's a lot of things going through your mind. And whether you want to call it fear or not, I think us men don't like to use that word. But there's a lot of times where, there's water left. You don't want to hit it left. That's a fearful, It was a great session.
And the next, you've won at Scarlet Course. What do you remember from that win?
Yeah, that was my first win out here on this tour, and that's a great course for me, and it's a great course for this tour. It's a championship style golf course, just like this one is. And we play a lot of courses where a lot of low scores, or because they just seems to be that way, and I think next week the scores will be kind of like this week, where they won't go too crazy low, and I think that suits me a little better. But I think I can play at any course at this moment.
And you, number one out here, gets you into the Players, gets you into the U.S. Open in North Carolina. Is that, has that been in the back of your mind at all?
No, not really. Colsey's kind of been up there pretty much the whole year, and I just saw him in the locker room, and he said, welcome to the 2 club, and said, let's see who gets the 3 first, but there's only 2 left, so we gotta put the pedal down. But obviously number one is huge, and it'd be great to get that, and if not, then I'm still excited with what I have.
I'm sure you get this question a lot, but what's the dynamic like between you and Kip out there? What is his main role? I mean, has he done a lot of reads for you? Is it keeping you mentally there? What does he do for you out in the course?
Yeah, he's a huge cheerleader. He keeps him very positive. He tells me how good I am, and he helps me read greens when I call him in. We do a very good job of reading together, and we
are growing together. We weren't perfect. Even, you know, my first win, we probably could have played that 18th hole a little better. And, you know, we talk about it. We try to get better as a team. And that's important. I don't think any team out here is going to be perfect from the start. It's always kind of a growing process. And, you know, we're starting to really mesh well out there.
And your high school teammate, Carter Jenkins, he finished second. What impresses you about his game and just what memories you have of playing, you know, high school golf?
Yeah, we played high school golf. We won a state championship together. We practiced all the time together. And I always knew he had the game. And, you know, he took a little longer to get out here, but that doesn't matter. He's out here and he's doing well. And I hope he can get his card as well. And, yeah, I mean, Carter's a great kid and comes from a great family. And I'm excited. I didn't know he came in second, but I'm very excited that two Raleigh boys are on top of the leaderboard.
Awesome. That's it. Thank you so much. Did you want to get some?
So there you have it. A couple of really good interviews. Hope you enjoyed them. Again, as I said earlier, a lot going on. Solheim Cup this week, Ryder Cup next week. A lot of interviews, a lot of content that we'll be throwing out there to you, if you will. And just some other things that are that's happening around the PGA Tour. There is a LIV Golf event this week in Chicago, and we will actually bring you some interviews from that event. So with that being said, I think I'm going to go play golf. It's a beautiful day in Nashville, Tennessee, before I get on the road again to cover the PGA Tour and other tours as they finish out the year in 2023, and we go on to 2024 with a whole new set of circumstances out there. For the entire Golf Talk America crew, for Tim Matthews in absentia, this is Frank Bassett. Thanks for listening to Golf Talk America, and please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and don't forget, please patronize our fabulous sponsors, Invited Clubs. Go to invited.com and PXG. Nobody builds golf clubs the way we do, period.